devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gaurang, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Putare Samukhadam Shami Tinandana Mati Sarasati Devi Gauravani Picharini Vishishu Prasthaya Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, chapter 15, text. Not there. What text we are reading from? Huh? Four. So chapter 16. Okay. Chapter 16, text number 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rishi Rubacha Nabai Maharaj Bhagavato Mayaguna Vibhuti Kashtam Manasa Vachasa Vatikan Tum Alam Vidubayu Shapi Purushas Tasmat Pradham Yena Bhugoloka Visesham nama rupa nama lakshanato piya yashamanaha. Translation of purple by His Divine Grace. Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada ki jai. The great Rishi Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, there is no limit to the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's material energy. The material world is a transformation of the material qualities, satugun, rajagun, tamogun. Yet no one could possibly explain it perfectly, even in a lifetime as long as that of Brahma. No one in the material world is perfect, and an imperfect person could not describe this material universe accurately, even after continued speculation. O King, I shall nevertheless try to explain to you the principal regions, such as Bhugolaka, or Bhulok, in their name, forms, measurements, and various symptoms." So Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadeva Goswami for information of the Bhuloka, the Bhumandala, and how extensive it is. When the mind is fixed on the Supreme Person of Godhead in His external feature made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Person of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is in this whose subtle form is self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. O my Lord, please vividly describe how the form which covers the entire universe is perceived. Text number 4. Purport. The material world is only one-fourth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's creation, but it is unlimited and impossible for anyone to know or describe, even with the qualification of a life as long as that of Brahma. who lives for millions and millions of years. Modern scientists and astronomers try to explain the cosmic situation and the vastness of space. And some of them believe that all glittering stars are different suns. From Bhagavad Gita, however, we understand that all these stars, these nakshatras, are like moons, in that they reflect the sunshine. They are not independent luminaries. Bhuloka is explained to be the portion of outer space through which the heat and light of the sun extend. Therefore, it's natural to conclude that this universe extends in space as far as we can see and encompasses the glittering stars. Srila Shukadeva Goswami admitted that to give full details of this expansive material universe would be impossible. But nevertheless, he wanted to give the king as much knowledge as he had received through the Parampara system. We should conclude that if one cannot comprehend the material expansion of the Supreme Person of Godhead, one certainly cannot estimate the expansiveness of the spiritual world. The Brahma Samhita confirms this in 533. Advaitam achutam anadyam anantarupam adyam puram purusham navajuvanamscha. The limits of the expansions of Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be estimated by anyone, even a person as perfect as Brahma, not to speak of tiny scientists whose senses and instruments are all imperfect, and who cannot give us information of even this one universe. We should therefore be satisfied with the information obtainable from Vedic sources as spoken by authorities like Shukadeva Goswami. Om Agyan Timirandasha Jananjanan Shalakaya Takshuran Manitandina Tasmaya Shri Vina Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Ram Hari Ram 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 Hari Hari. So Bhuloka is explained to be that portion of outer space through which the heat and light and sun extend. So you have the sun which illuminates the universe, or as much as it can illuminate, according to its potency. That much we can see, because beyond that there will be no sunshine. There will be no heat. So there will be no light, only darkness. So that much we can comprehend as far as the sun shines, according to the power of the sun. More than that we cannot know. So therefore it's explaining that no one in the material world is perfect to understand the vastness, the greatness of everything. And this is just one, this is the smallest universe. Brahma only has four heads. There are universes, Brahma has 10,000 million. And according to the number of heads, then that's the size of the universe. So this is the four-headed size universe we're in now. But there's a million-headed universe, size of the universe, million times bigger, million of times bigger. So, Prabhupada said we should conclude that if one cannot comprehend the material expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly cannot estimate the expansiveness of the spiritual world. This is just one tiny portion of the spiritual world. So Because we're imperfect in this material world, our senses are imperfect. We're trying to comprehend something, you know, going into billions of miles, and you know, we can only see a few miles with our own eyes. So the senses are imperfect. When you close your eyes, you can't even see your eyelid. Your eyelid is touching the eye, but when you close it, you can't even see it. So this is how imperfect the senses are. And the sun is illuminating this entire universe. But when we see the sun, it looks like a 2-rupee coin, as big as a 2-rupee coin. But actually we understand this. Such a huge planet. But because our senses are imperfect, therefore we cannot understand. So with imperfect senses, we cannot describe the material world, so what to speak of the spiritual world. We are limited, and Krishna and his energies are unlimited. We are finite, and the Lord's energies are infinite. They're expanding everywhere. So it's not possible for the limited to understand the unlimited, or the finite to understand the infinite. It's not possible. But if the infinite wants to make himself known to the finite, if the unlimited wants to make himself known to the limited, then that's his prerogative. He can do that. And so therefore Krishna does do that. He reveals the spiritual world to the sincere devotees. Otherwise, how we can perceive the spiritual world? We can't even perceive ourselves, which is 1/10,000 size of a tip of a hair. A spiritual spark is difficult to perceive. So what to speak of the entire spiritual manifestation? So it's impossible. But if the unlimited Lord wants to make himself known to the limited jiva, he can do that very easily. That is his prerogative. So our business is simply to accept the mercy of the Lord and accept the authorities like that of the Vedas and these conversations of Shukadeva Goswami. Otherwise, up until now, modern scientists' descriptions of the universe, they're miles and miles away. No one's even coming practically near what goes on in the universe. I mean, what is their conception? There's only life on this planet because I happen to be here. This is the greatest planet because I'm the greatest. And all other planets, there's no life, absolutely no life whatsoever. This is their tiny, limited conception. Anyway, somehow or another, we have to present this Vedic temple of the planetarium, TOVP, temple of the Vedic planetarium. So at least we can explain how much we know we get from Bhagavatam. That much we can present. We cannot present a full description. In one purport, I think it's in this chapter. Anyways, and Prabhupada said, I can't answer this. I can't speak. I can't answer this. It's beyond me. Something like that. Also, it's not so important to know everything. It's good for preaching to establish what the Vedas is saying, so that much we can preach, so that if people accept that much, that's great, because at least they're accepting the authoritative information of the Lord. They're not being an illusion. So otherwise, it's not really so important to know all the details of the how the material world is working. Krishna says, when he's explaining some of these vibhutis, these opulences to Arjuna, yeah, what use is really understanding all this, Arjuna? I just told you a few of them. But what use for understanding all these vibhutis? Just understand with one little spark of mine, I pervade and maintain the entire universe. So it's all insignificant for Krishna. With one spark of his energy, which is insignificant, he maintains the whole creation, which we think is pretty big and wonderful. It is. from our perception, but Krishna's perception, Ananda Devi is holding the universe as if on his foot. He doesn't even know it's there. It's so insignificant, he doesn't even know the universe is there. He's not bothered by it. So, not really so important, but what is more important is understand our relationship with the spiritual world, Krishna in the spiritual world, and how to get there, and how to serve Krishna there. So this is the main purpose of understanding the material world, so then we can understand what's beyond it and how to get out of it, how to get to that, go back home, back to Godhead. Instead of just being caught up, because it goes on forever and ever and ever if we just speculate about what we think the universe is. So we can simply accept if, as much facts as we can get from the Vedas, we can present. Prabhupada said that they were going to say, well, how do you know all this is true, that when we present the Vedic planetary, how do you know this is true, this universe? They said, we have our evidence. Here, look, Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto. If you don't believe it, you disprove it. As far as we're concerned, the proof is here, so we don't have to research anymore. If you don't believe it, you research it and prove it's not true. But it gets a little bit too... What do you say? It gets a bit too wacky for them. They understand that the universe is resting on the back of Gormara turtle. Ananda, the snake is underneath. And there's big elephants that hold the universe's balance, keep balance of the universe's. That's all astronomical stuff. But it's all very cleverly arranged by Krishna. It's all perfect. What is the best thing to hold? Something in the water, a turtle, because you can, when you've got a nice strong back, you can hold everything up. And you see the Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya, those elephants, they're always moving, you know. They know how to manipulate their weight. They move from one leg to another. So they're perfect balances. If you've got four of these huge elephants, like on each corner of the universe, so they just have to lean a little bit if anything's going out of them. Lean that way. And they're keeping perfect balance. You don't need a machine. In Krishna's creation, it's all done by personalities. Some jivas have got the position of playing. There's these huge elephants and just adjusting their weight a little bit and keep a perfect balance of the whole universe. So no one can even imagine it beyond imagination. It has to be true just on the fact that nobody else could even conceive of something like that. To conceive us like this, you must be God. So God did conceive of it, and he's... So we get this information. Okay, so today is also the... it's the appearance day of Sita Devi, Janavi Devi, and the disappearance of Madhupandit, so we can speak a little bit of... So, Sita Devi ki, okay. So this Sita Devi is the consort of Lord Ramachandra, and she's the Lord's internal potency. That internal potency means that which reveals Krishna. Reveals Krishna's form, his name, his qualities. It's all revealed by the internal potency, the spiritual potency. So therefore we always approach the spiritual energy to reveal Krishna. So we Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna. So this is a method of approach. Without approaching the spiritual potency of the Lord, then the Lord we cannot approach. He is covered. I'm not revealed to the I am covered with my curtain of Maya, yoga Maya. I am not revealed to the the ignorant, the foolish, Krishna says. So this spiritual potency covers everything. In Maya Por, she acts as Prodamaya, spiritual potency that reveals the Dharma or covers the Dharma. In Vrindavan, she's known as Purnamasi, internal potency. She arranges all the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Covering the Dharma and revealing the Dharma according to the consciousness of the devotees. But somehow or another, we're obligated and it's necessary to approach Krishna through his potency, his internal potency. In Srila Prabhupada's poem he wrote when he went to America, and in the refrain he says, I emphatically say unto you, O brother, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. So here Prabhupada is pointing out, it's only by the mercy of the internal potency, then you'll know your good fortune. Otherwise we're unfortunate because we're in the material world, we're in material consciousness, we don't have spiritual understanding. When the curtain of Maya Maya is lifted by, and Yoga Maya reveals, then that's your good fortune. You're revealing your own identity, spiritual identity, and identity of Krishna, the Krishna's Dharma, Krishna's devotees. This is an awakened state, so this is your good fortune. You will understand your good fortune only when you are blessed by the internal potency. which is necessary, which is our ultimate goal, is to understand this potency. In Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the last chapter, last verse, last purport, last sentence, Prabhupada reveals his intention. The author sometimes reveals his intention at the end of the book. So the very ending of Prabhupada's book, in purport, he reveals the intention of Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he talks how the living entity has independence, he misuses it, he's in the material world. By proper use of that independence, he can get out again. And then again be situated in the Haladini potency, in the pleasure-giving potency, the internal potency of the Lord, where he belongs. That's his natural constitutional position. In that environment where everybody is giving pleasure to Krishna, they're bringing pleasure to Radha and Krishna. So that's where we belong. That's the purpose of our existence, to expand the pleasure of God. That's why God expanded for his pleasure. So this is our constitutional nature. This is where Prabhupada wants to take us. Get us out of this material consciousness, in our spiritual consciousness, and go and serve in the spiritual world with all the other eternally conscious, liberated, spiritually conscious jivas there, and different potencies are all serving Radha and Krishna. So this is why it's important that we have to receive the mercy of the internal potency of the Lord, because she governs. She's doing all the work, you see. Krishna's business is to enjoy, so he doesn't have to do any arrangement like that. So that's all taken care of by his potency. Krishna has the desire to enjoy his potency, Ichha Shakti, it immediately manifests. So he has these different spiritual potencies that manifest his desires. So he himself doesn't have to work, he enjoys. But all the work is done by his spiritual potencies, making all the arrangements and things like that. So we want to be somewhere part of that spiritual world where we are somehow or another, we are assisting in these arrangements in uniting Radha and Krishna and separating Radha and Krishna. This is the picture of Vrindavan. Everyone is there is uniting Radha and Krishna, then they're separating, then they're uniting and separating. This is what's going on. And all the different relationships with Krishna, Shakya, Vatsala, Madhujit, it's all Dasha, it's all, this is the picture of Vrindavan, how we can unite Radha and Krishna, making various programs and then how to separate them, that's also difficult. to separate the love of the Saraswati. So then you have all kinds of mixtures of relationships there. And they're forced to be separated. The parents are there, something like that. But this is increasing Krishna's pleasure. That somehow or another we belong there. That's where Prabhupada wants to take us. That's where Krishna, that's where the Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately wants to take us. So as Prabhupada said, that I emphatically say unto you, you will know your good fortune when you're spiritually awakened by the mercy of the internal potency. So today is also Janaba Devi's appearance day. She's also the internal potency of the Lord. And today is also Madhu Pandit, a disappearance, and he is also the internal potency of the Lord. In Krishna Leela, where he serves as Mandala Shakti, who is an assistant of Champaka Lata Shakti. So she's in that group, Mandali Shakti, she's in the group of Champaka Lata, whose main business is to look up, take care of all the trees, bushes, plants and things like that in Vrindavan. They're the protectresses. They protect the dham, all the trees and the foliage and things like that. That's the main service of the camp. Oh, they have many, many other savers. But anyway, in that position, that means Madhu Pandit or Mandali Shakti is in her natural constitution, in the Haladini potency, giving pleasure to Radha and Krishna. So and then these great personages come and they display their pastimes here, give their association and reveal the spiritual realm. Madhu Pandit was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, who is also internal potency, Haladini potency, Shakti. And he was worshipping the deity of Gopinathji. This Gopinath was one of the deity was installed by Brajanath, the great grandson of Lord Krishna, 5,000 years ago. Then the deity became buried, and then about 500 years ago he was again discovered. By one Paramananda Bhattacharya at Vamshibad. Vamshibad. And there, so there he was worshipped. So Gopinath, he is our Prayojana Diti, or the ultimate goal of our Sampradaya. Gopinath indicates the alms. Madana Mohan is the lotus feet of Krishna. He establishes sambandha. Govindaji is the beautiful face of Krishna. He is establishing abhidaya, the process of bhakti, devotional service. And Gopinath is the prayojana, the goal, the Gopinath, the lord of the gopis, the master of the gopis. Rasalila, he is there surrounded by millions of gopis. He is the lord. So he is the... But he is not the Prayojanacharya. The Prayojanacharya we can consider to be Raghunath Das Goswami. He is our Rasacharya. So, Janaba Devi also worshipped Gopinathji. I have some information. I will read. Sri Suryadas Sharakela, he was a resident of Shalagram. This place is a few miles from here. You go to Dabulia, you go to the Krishna Naga High Road. Instead of turning right to go to Krishna Naga, you turn left. First town you come to is Dabulia. Then you go inside a little bit, a few miles, there's a place called Shalagram. It's kind of a remote place. But anyway, Shakyali, he was living there. He had five brothers, Damodar Jagannath, Gauri Das, Krishna Das, and Nrisingha Chaitanya Das. This Gauri Das is the famous Gauri Das Pandit of Ambika Kanda, one of the brothers. His father's name was Sri Kamsari Mishra. His mother's name was Sri Kamala. Devi, and he received the title of Shakel because he used to work and keep the accounts for the king of Govardhan. So it's a title, Shakel is a title. And his two daughters were named Basudha and Sri Janava, who was the youngest. So they were daughters of Sujidas Shakela, the younger brother of Gauridas. In the Gaurakanda Desha Deepika, it's stated that they are the expansions of Kamuni and Revati in Vrindavan. And Sujidas Shakela, whose body is effulgent, is like the sun, is an expansion of Kakutmiya, the king of Revata. The two laws of Radha Nityananda were very affectionate to him, seeing that his two daughters had reached full bloom of their youth. He began to contemplate their marriage, thinking in his way. He fell asleep and in his dream, he saw in a very happy mood. He was presenting his two daughters to Nityananda Prabhu. Having seen such a wonderful dream, he began to float in an ocean of bliss. In the morning when he woke, he told his dream to one of his friends.
His eyes filled with tears of ecstatic love. taught all particular things and not taught some prayers. But he could not express anything due to being overcome by ecstatic emotion. Though this man smiled sweetly and embraced him with great love, Shrutadas rejoiced before him
in the self. Seeing these loving pastimes, brother, Gauridas lost patience and felt great bliss within himself. Then, after worshipping the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, he offered his two daughters in marriage to him. Thus the marriage ceremony was very auspiciously performed, and Nityananda Prabhu remained a phalagram with his two newly wives for a few days. Thereafter, he came to Krishnadas's house at Boragat, where he remained for a couple of days. Next, he came to Radhavi, along with his two wives, and he offered his obeisances at the feet of Satchimata, who was extremely pleased to see him, and she showed great mercy and affection on the two new brides. The other Vaishnavas also began to show great affection. Then, taking leave of Satchimata, Nityananda came to Advaitacharya's house in Shantipur. Sri Sita Thakurani began to float in an ocean of bliss after seeing Vasudha and Janabi Devi. Taking them in her lap, she was very affectionate to the new brides. After remaining there for a few days, Nityananda Prabhu came to Udharanadatta Thakur's house at Shatgram. At his insistent invitation. And there they all engaged in the festival of Sankirtan for a few days, after which Nityananda Prabhu came to Kardaha. Which is where he lived. After the disappearance, anyways, there's a wedding ceremony is going on here, but look who's coming to the wedding ceremony. All eternal associates of the Lord, Vishnu Pandits are there, Aitacharya is there, Sri Vashya, but all these spiritual personalities are coming in, enacting this marriage which was just performed according to the ordinary human rites. So they come and perform these astonishing pastimes to show others how to act. Become one of us. Report about Prabhupada. But we see you coming at 7:07. Yogis coming in 7:07. Said, because I want to be one of you. Prabhupada was also a spiritual person, but he also became one of us. He was acting like one of us. Otherwise, how would we relate to him? He acted too spiritually. So he, this is the Madhyam, he comes from Adhika to the Madhyam and acts like an ordinary person. So it seems like an ordinary wedding, which is sense gratification. They say, oh, but everyone's there. He was there. Quickly, this get the whole marriage performed. And Nityananda's moved from place to place with the wedding party. After this, a shared wedding chapter between Nityananda Prabhu, Vash Pandit, and various associates of Sri Gaurashunda, he specifically empowered manifestations of the compassion of Lord Mahaprabhu. And namely Srinivasacharya Narottam Das Thakur Mahasaya and Srinanda Prabhu continued to flood the land with Harinam Sankirtan. Nityananda Prabhu Shakti Sri Anakam was especially requested by these Acharyas in the celebrated festival which was conducted by them at Ketukram, patronage of Narottam's cousin, Raja Santosh, that present that Sri Krishna Das Misra, her uncle, Miniketa Ramadas, Bhari Chaitanya Gyanadas, Shri Das, Aramdas, Vrindavan Thakur, dear devotees, Nityananda Prabhu. Then this was the Keturi festival, the Gaur Purnima festival was organized. All these great personalities were there. Janavi was invited as a chief guest. She was the internal potency of Lord Nityananda. And she, they installed different deities there. She brought Radharani's deities for the Krishna deities. And she also personally cooked for all the devotees. So then after that, she came to her uncle Gaurav's Pant at Kalna, where she was nicely received by Hirdaya Chaitanya Prabhu. And here she cooked two lords, Nitai and Gaur, in the evening. This is the deities. In the evening they had a festival of Samkirtan. When she came to Navadvip, she realized that she would not be able to see Sati Mata anymore. She was very sad and she cried. Then Sripati and Srinidhi came and took her to their house. But again she was plunged into grief because of the pangs of separation, of not being able to see Srinivas, Srinivas Pandit and Malini Devi. At Shantipur, Sri Achyuta, Nanda and Gopal tried to console her in the absence of Advaita Acharya and Sita Thakurani. Then she came by the way of Kamtak Naga to Telia Budhari Gram, where Sri Govinda Kaviraj received her with all respect. She came by Kamtak Naga. Kamtak Naga is another name of Atwa. It's Kamtak, Kamtak Naga. Kamtak is coming from an coming from the Kantakari, there is a tree. It has a big thorn. Not this big, a big thorn, very sharp, very, very strong, like tiger's claw. In Sanskrit, this tree is called Bhagri, which means tiger. But it has this very, very, like, sharp point. So the name was given Kantakari. Was given by Sachi Mata because Katwa was the place where her beloved son took sannyas and left. So she said that place is like thorn in the heart. So she renamed it not Katwa but Kantakari, Kantak Naga, because it was like thorns. The next day, the party set out for Keturi. When they reached the bank of the Padma River, they found that Raj Santosh Dutt had already made arrangements for crossing the river. From the opposite bank, palanquins were waiting for them to take them to Keturi. After presiding over the festival of Keturi, Janava decided to go to Vrindavan. One day when she was bathing in the Jamuna, a small black hand grabbed the end of her cloth as she was getting out of the water. When she looked, however, there was no one there. Then Gopinath spoke to her, and he said, "I want to come and stay with you. When you are taking your bath in the Ganga one day, I will come and join you." This actually happened later when she came back to Bengal. She was taking bath in Ganga, and again Gopinath came from the Ganga, and she found, and then she began to worship Gopinath. After passing some days in great happiness in Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Janava Mata set out on a path back to Bodhadesh. First she came to Keturi, then to Paduri, Gram, where she arranged marriage of Borgangadas with Hemalata, the daughter of Shyamdas Chakravarti, the brother of Bamshidas. After the marriage, Sri Ishwari entrusted the worship of Shyamasundarji to Bauraganga Das. Then she came to Ekachakra, the birthplace of her worshipful lord, Nichananda. From there she passed through Pantaknaga, Jajigram, Nabadeep, Ambikona, Uttagram, before finally arriving back at Karadaha. Karadaha is about halfway between here and Calcutta, where Lord Nichananda resided. Yeah, then she found the deity of Gopinath in the Ganga. This deity of Gopinath is still at present being worshipped by the descendants of Ganga Devi, the daughter of Nityananda Prabhu, at Jirat in the Hooghly district. The place is called Gopinath Tala. So that Gopinath went to Jirat with Gangadasi. Gangadasi was the daughter of Vasudha. No, yes. Yeah, Nityananda Prabhu and Vasudha, the two wives. Vasudha, she gave birth to two children, Virabhadra, who said to be the incarnation of Vishnu, Viradakshai Vishnu. Maybe not Viradakshai. Anadakshai, either one of the Vishnu's incarnations. Anyway. And Gangadasi. Gangadasi was the daughter, she was directly Ganga Devi herself. So, when she was born, she wasn't taking any breast milk from her mother, Vasudha. Everybody was in anxiety, the child not drinking, she will die. So then Nityananda Prabhu indicated to Jahnavi that you initiate her. So Jahnavi went and she whispered Krishna mantra in the ear of Gangadasi. Then she started taking the breast milk of her mother. The idea is that without getting initiation in Krishna's mantra, then life is not worth living. So she wasn't going to do anything until she got initiated into Krishna mantra. Otherwise, what use is life without being initiated into Krishna's mantra? So anyway, when she was getting married, she was crying because the ladies, they always cry when they have to leave their home. First time they're separate in India, at least. They live at home all the time when they're young. And then now they're going to leave home, they go to the bride's house, or the bridegroom's house. So naturally, it's a phenomenon, they all cry and all the relatives are there. They have to go. So she was so upset and crying, she has to leave, feeling the separation of her parents and everyone. So Janava said, okay, you can take Gopinathji with you. Because you've grown up with him since your birth. He's like a family. You worship him, you've grown up with him, you've known him. So you take Gopinathji to your new house, and he's part of the family. You won't feel separation from your family because you're... So then she took the deity of Gopinath to her house, and she was pacified by having Gopinath in her house. The deity is still there. Where is it? Jiyaganj. No, Jirat. He went to Jirat where she was, where Gangadavi was living. Gangadasi was living. And that deity had an accident. This was about 8 years ago, 8-9 years ago. And Gopinath, somehow or another, his arm was broken. So So they got the mystery, the stone mystery. He come and fixed it. So he fixed the arm, but then after a little while it broke in the same place. So then Pujari had a dream. Gopinath appeared to him and said, when you break your arm, he said, you go to a Kaviraj. When I break my arm, you send me to a stone mystery. A workman, a person who works with stone. I can't understand your intelligence. So then they found a Kaviraj that you're going to do something. So then this Kaviraj came and he repaired the arm and he put a bandage on it. He said, after 1 week, you should take it off. So then they took it off after 1 week and then his hand is still today. It's good. Jai Gopinath Juki. So, she's also an Janaba Devi is also an expansion of Ananga Manjari, who is Srimati Radha's younger sister. You've seen in Vrindavan, they have a place around Radhakund called Sri Janaba Ghat, where she's sitting there meditating. They say she had darshan of Krishna there also. But she has a kunj there, as Ananga Manjari, she has a kunj. It's called the Salila Padma, the water lotus. Can't see it, it's like a lotus made of water, so it's not easily distinguishable. It's in the border of Radhakund actually. And there's a crystal bridge. And that kunj is studded with jewels and gems, different gems. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, she is his eternal guru. In the Navadita Mahaprabhu, after every chapter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers the basis to Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Janaba, who he considers my guru. In fact, they ordered me to write this book. That's recent. They were 400 years before Bhaktivinoda. Anyway, so indicating there these are eternal gurus. He praises my eternal guru, Janaba, and if I... And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur took initiation in the Nityananda Vamsi Sampradaya from Bipin Bihari Goswami, even though there were some philosophical discrepancies. But still out of chastity, he took initiation in the Nityananda Vamsi because Nidaya and Janaba are his eternal gurus. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a nice prayer. And it's from the Kalyan Kalpataru. You can meditate on the prayer today. And he says, falling in the ocean of existence, thank you for building the without any refuge, I'm trying to find the shore, but still without any success. I'm losing all hope of ever finding it. What activity will bring me there? Or what knowledge will bring me there? Conducting some fruitive sacrifices, engaging in some mystic yogic process, or conducting austerities, none of these have any power or effect. I'm getting weak and I can't swim long. In this extremely dangerous situation, will no one come to save me? Alas, to make matters worse, having sight of the crocodile of worldly affairs, I am petrified with fear, and the current of lust is always flooding the water. I can barely keep my head above the water. The winds carrying the cold activity from previous life is blowing and making the water so choppy. I'm losing my mind now. I'm simply crying frantically. I cannot see anyone who can get me out of this ocean of woes. Oh my Sri Janaba Devi, please have compassion on your servant and bless me with some divine qualities. Please extend me the rope of your mercy and alleviate the intense pain that I am experiencing. I have full faith that you can carry me across this ocean. You are the divine energy of Nityananda and the bestower of Krishna Bhakti. Please bless me at your feet with all of one's desires. You have already delivered so many despicable creatures. Now, today, here is one more destitute and hateful wretch coming to take shelter of your lotus feet. Thank you.